The summer holidays are pretty well a thing of the past now. Children are back at school, and of course that means that children are back hard at work. Well, that's the theory anyway. But it doesn't always work out quite like that, does it? A survey 2 years ago found that children in the UK are among the laziest in the world when it comes to A, helping around the house, but B, to doing homework. It seems that many children in this country don't want to work hard at school. In fact, it seems that there is one main thing that will get a child working. It actually isn't parental threats. It's not the hope of a good career at the end. It's when a child really respects and likes their teacher. Then they will want to do their best for their teacher. Being told by their teacher they've done well, it really means something to them. And I guess it isn't just at school that that happens. When you love someone, when you respect someone, you want to do your best for them, don't you? And that brings us to the reading we're going to be looking at this morning, our second reading, that parable from Matthew 25. A parable which Jesus told, and I think lying behind this parable is that question. What do you think of Jesus? Does what you do show that you love him and want to do your best for him? Or does it show something rather different? So let's turn now to that New Testament reading, Matthew 25 and beginning at verse 14. So I wonder, what would you do if someone gave you £1 million to look after for them? Because that's the sort of sum that Jesus was talking about in the parable. There's a footnote in our Bibles which says that these bags of gold in the parable would have been worth around 20 years of a day labourer's wage. So, what are we saying? Maybe £300,000? So, the man in the story gave one servant £1.5 million, one servant £600,000, and the third servant £300,000. The master gives this huge amount. In fact, it is his whole fortune, everything he owns. He gives it to the three servants, and then he goes off. Look at the start of the parable, and you'll see that it's connected with what has gone just before this. It has that rather strange beginning. Again, it will be like. Again, what will be like? If you go back to the start of chapter 25, to the first of these three parables, at that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like. So Jesus is talking about the kingdom of heaven. And what is this time at that time? Well, in the previous chapter, Jesus had been teaching his disciples about what would happen after his ascension and about the time when he would come back to earth. So again, it will be like Jesus is talking about how things would be when he went away, when he returns to heaven, and then when he returns again. And it will be like a man going on a journey. And before he goes, he entrusts his servants with all that he has. He entrusted his wealth to them. But if Jesus told this parable to explain what things would be like when he goes away and then returns, what exactly are these bags of gold? I think the clue is in what is said about them. So in verse 15, to one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, according to his ability. So the master knew these servants well. He knew what abilities they had. He didn't give them abilities. The money was related to the abilities that they had. So this parable isn't so much about the gifts or abilities God has given us. It isn't that God gives us different gifts which we need to use. It's more that whatever gifts and abilities we have, which must have come from God in the first place, of course, whatever gifts and abilities we have, he then also gives us the responsibility of using them wisely. The bags of gold, which were given according to each servant's ability, are the responsibilities which the master, that's Jesus, gives to his servants, that's us, until the day he returns. And that's what we see in this parable, isn't it? With the first two servants anyway. They set to work straight away. The man who had received five bags of gold went at once and put his money to work. The man who had received two bags did the same. So think. They obviously thought a lot of their master, didn't they? He'd given them this responsibility. They didn't sort of hang around and wait till they felt like doing something. They got on with it straight away. What exactly they did, the parable doesn't say, and in actual fact, we don't need to know. The master knew them. He knew what they were capable of, and they loved their master. They wanted to do the work he'd given them. And as they worked, what they had grew. In other words, they were able to take on more and more responsibility. I've just started one of my periodic attempts to get fit. The doctor keeps asking me if I get enough exercise, and I don't like disappointing him by telling him the truth. So I've set up my exercise bike, and every day I do a bit. I have to say the first couple of days were a struggle, but it's true. The more you do, the easier it gets. It's the same with walking. I recently read a book about a man who walked the old pilgrimage trail, the Camino de Santiago. At first, he was doing well if he could manage 20 kilometers in a day. After a month, he could knock off 35 kilometers in a day, no problem. And there's a real parallel between the spiritual life and the physical life. Physically, if you exercise, you get stronger. That means you can do more. If you develop your muscles, your reward is that you can carry heavier loads and still feel good. But if you lie in bed and do nothing, just the opposite happens. And you find that you can do less and less. You even lose the pathetic muscles you once did have. And it's just like that spiritually. When someone who's been given a responsibility by the Lord gets on with it and exercises, then their ability to work will grow. But if you do nothing, then you end up being useless. And the third servant did nothing. Well, not exactly nothing, but he hid what the master had given him. He didn't do anything with it. Now, if the bags of gold were related to the abilities each servant had, I guess that servant number three was the least able of the lot. So maybe he felt that there was nothing that he could do. Compared to the other two, he was a bit of a nobody. Or maybe he was a bit miffed that the master had only given him one bag of gold. If that's all he thinks of me, I don't think I'll bother. But actually, his real problem was that he had a really bad view of his master. Verse 24 and 25, "Master," he said, "I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you've not sown and gathering where you've not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground." The first two got to work straight away because they loved their master and wanted to serve him. The third servant did not love his master. He didn't trust his master. He had no regard for his master. The reason that he didn't serve was that he didn't care in the least about his master. He just thought he was a hard taskmaster. He didn't care whether he pleased him. So let's go back to why Jesus told this parable. He was talking about how it was going to be when he went away, when he returns to heaven, and then what happens when he returns. So because we live between those two events, this story is actually about us. And Jesus knows everything about us. He knows what abilities I have and you have. And if we claim to be following him, to be disciples, he gives each of us the responsibility of using those abilities for his glory. And that's why thinking about this today as we kind of start up a new term at Christ Church is very appropriate. Because each person in this building has abilities, all sorts of different abilities. And if you're following the Lord Jesus, then he gives you the responsibility of using those gifts for him. Some might be pretty talented sort of people. You know, we're talking the five bags of gold people. There's a lot that they can do. Well, along with that, God gives many responsibilities. Others are less gifted. In fact, some might not think there's much they can do at all. But whether it's large or small, God gives you the responsibility of using what abilities you have for his glory. Some people are very caring. Some have the ability to get on well with children. Some are good at talking to people. Some are great at admin. Some make a really good cup of tea. Some are very prayerful. To one he gave five bags of gold, to another two bags, and to another one bag, each according to his ability. And if you use that ability for God's glory, you find that there are more things you can do. New abilities you discover that you can use. But if you don't, so take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What was the difference between the servants? I don't think it was that number three was particularly lazy or that he didn't know what to do. It was that the first two respected their master. They loved him. They wanted to please him. And for them, hearing their master say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." That would have been the best thing, the best thing they could have ever wanted, to have their master's appreciation. And did you see? The master didn't say to them, "Well done, you've worked hard. Now come and have a rest." He said that because they had worked hard, he would give them even more to do, which would mean more chances to show their love for him. And I have to say that I suspect that even if the master had been able to say to that third servant, "Well done, you've done well with what you've got, I'm going to give you some more to do," his response would have been, "More to do? Forget that." You see, if you're like the third servant, what does that say about your attitude to Jesus? It's not great, is it? It almost certainly means you've never really thought about all that he has done for you. You've never experienced his amazing love, because if you had, you would long to serve him. If you aren't eager to serve Jesus, maybe you've never received the love that he has for you and the eternal life that he died to give you. And although the parable couldn't be that detailed, I think that it's pointing to the third servant just thinking that anything he had to do was an intrusion on his time. It was hard work. He chose not to do it. It's kind of, he was thinking of himself as a volunteer, and he'd chosen not to volunteer. But the first two were living out of grace. It's actually just what we saw in our Old Testament reading from Exodus. God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. As he said, you yourselves have seen what I did in Egypt and how I carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. And it was on the basis of that that he challenged them to live as his people, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. They'd received grace. They just needed to act out of the grace that they'd received. And it's just the same for us now. When you know what Jesus has done for you, this is how you will respond. It's actually why there are no volunteers in Christian service, just servants. But servants who delight to please their master at whatever responsibilities he's given them. So how about you? What are you going to do with the bags of gold Jesus has given you?